This is Back to the Mac from the Q Broadcasting Network. You can follow us on Twitter at BTTMPodcast or at Q Broadcasting. You can find us on the internet at Q.am. That's Q-U-E.am. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Back to the Mac, episode 22. It's a show about Mac stuff for Mac people, by Mac people, and we don't do iOS. Right, Richard?
That's right.
Okay. So, shall we get started with this week's topics?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't really got any topics, have we?
We don't have any news. We decided not to do news this week. We're going to discuss replacements for OEM apps.
Are we what? Oh, right. OEM.
Isn't it? I thought it was OEM.
What does that stand for?
I don't remember. It's the dictionary. OEM, original equipment manufacturer.
Yeah, right. Okay. I've heard of that term before when it's referring to the normal manu, like it would be Apple's stock apps, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that one makes sense. A lot of PC blogs will also reference kind of, they'll just say OEMs as in this general term for HP, Lenovo, whoever else.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. So let's start with Safari. What do you have? What's your replacement?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I do use Safari. I don't have any massive issues with it as such. But the only sort of replacement one that I've ever used has been Chrome. And I've got to say, it's grown on me. We're using it as we speak for the show notes. Well, I am. we've discovered a little chat functionality, haven't we, in there as well. And it's interesting seeing the ability to open, to create documents and things within it as well as part of, what's it called, Google Drive?
Google Docs? Wait.
It's Google Drive now, isn't it, the name of it?
Yeah, it kind of
it was Google Docs.
It was. Now everything's kind of centered in Google Drive.
Yeah.
But that's not specific to the browser, is it?
No, it isn't. No, But it's just, I think it's just because when you go into Chrome, all that kind of stuff's front and center, isn't it? When you first land there.
Oh, you've got app tiles.
You've got all your main Google app tiles, aren't you, as you open it. So that's one of the clever things about it, I think, is it's kind of dragged me into trying out more of their stuff. I just like it. I think it's a really fast browser. Really, really fast browser. And what else do I like about it? I like the kind of automatic suggestions and things as you're typing in. It seems to get them right a lot of the time for me. The hit rate's very good. And I know there's like plugins and things, isn't there, that you can use with it. I don't use any myself, but I've heard other people talk about that.
There's lots of extensions available for it.
Extensions, yeah.
Most of them are way better than Safari. They're actually, Google has this, they kind of confuse people a little bit, though. They have extensions, and then they have web apps, and the web apps are stuff like little shortcuts to things
on
the main page. And extensions are more like Adblock or, what's the name of that little? Ola Unblocker, which lets you watch, for instance, Netflix if you live somewhere outside the zones it's available. So. Those things are really helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can educate me and perhaps some of the listeners as well. Where would we get a hold of these sort of extensions, Jacob?
On the Chrome Web Store, which is chrome.google.com/webstore.
Okay.
And or like when you just go into Chrome on the main page, unless you have a home page set, on the tab page, it's right on the bottom right of the page and it says Web Store and you just click it.
All right, okay. I see that there. I think I've spotted that before, but never actually gone into it. And oh, there you go, extensions. And is it sort of quite easy to install these? And you know, is it for a novice? Is it pretty straightforward?
Yeah, it's one click actually. It's easier than Firefox, which is dumb because it'll sit there. You'll click. I think it's like install add-on or something, and then it makes you wait 3 seconds to make sure you want to install it, which forces you to read the terms, which is actually kind of a good thing. But and then you just click the install button on there. But on this one, it's just one click.
So. Right. And actually, it's I'm just having a little flick through now. It's a really nicely done sort of page, isn't it?
The store.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very nicely presented.
Like when you hover over things, like on the main page right now, there's Dropbox recommended for you. You hover over it, and it's a smaller tile, so the whole thing slides upward, and you get an Add to Chrome button, or the other one is a Share button. So they're focused on web apps, which is really nice, and they do well with them. So
print friendly and PDF any web page. That's clever. Well, that's really good. I've learned something straight away there.
Pockets in there and all kinds of stuff.
Pocket's very good. I use Pocket certainly on a mobile basis. But I think I've got the actual Mac app installed as well.
Oh yeah, I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's quite nice. It's quite nice. I honestly don't know why I ended up getting Chrome other than just wanting to experiment with something else. I remember somebody telling me that it was a lot faster, which I think it probably is. Do you think that?
I just actually, the interesting thing is for me, it's been kind of faster. I mean, there's certain things I'll talk about why I don't like it in a second, but if you compare it in Activity Monitor, and I just wanted to do that, I opened our notes in Google Docs on both the browsers, and actually Google Chrome seems to use 50 megabytes of RAM less, and I have the same plugins installed on both. I mean, Flash is installed, but it's not running, so
mm-hmm.
That's one thing. It uses less RAM, which is definitely useful.
Mm. Yeah, that's, if you've not got a particularly powerful machine, it's going to be helpful, isn't it? So is there anything else that you like about it, Jacob?
I like the other devices thing that it uses. It's just like iCloud Tab Sync or whatever it's called. But since I use Chrome on my phone, it's really, really nice to have that that function, and it works a lot faster than the iCloud version.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved that. Like, I mean, you can open a page and it'll pop up right away. On the iCloud one, it's weird. It takes too long. It just slowly gets there. I don't know why. There's like this lag of 20 or 30 seconds.
So when you've got, so if you're using sort of Google Chrome on iOS and you've got a tab open, as soon as you open it on a Mac, on Chrome, then the tab's there immediately. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting because I've never tried Google on iOS, not Google, Chrome on iOS. So
I actually just replaced Safari with it because I like it better. It's much more lightweight on mobile devices, much, much more lightweight.
Okay.
But on the Mac, yeah, it's still really handy. The one thing I don't like about it is, you know that really fun gesture you can do, two fingers to swipe forward and backwards?
Mm-hmm.
Safari. You can do it in Chrome, but in Chrome it's boring. It's not like you get to slide the whole page this way. It's more you just get this little pop-up kind of round thing with an arrow on it. And it's not as nice looking.
Yeah, you get like a sort of big gray bubble, don't you, on the side?
Yeah, it doesn't really fit. I really like what Apple did. I mean, I think that looks great.
Okay. I do like, I mean, this is kind of probably, oh, let's hope anyway, the kind of way that we might go with the next version of the Mac OS anyway, but I kind of do like the flat styling of the Chrome, you know, sort of very flat interface, isn't it? So without all the shine and whatnot.
Well, it's like, do you remember how the Chrome logo used to be 3D?
Yeah.
Flattened it. It was kind of shiny. It looked like a piece of plastic, kind of, and then they just flattened it, and now it's matte, kind of.
Oh, honey.
You're not podcast sunshine. Off you go. Go to bed. Bye-bye. That's my little boy. Want to be a little radio star already?
What are you doing, Daddy?
Harry?
What are you doing?
Night-night.
What
one moment, Jacob.
And that, fair listeners, is the life of a Richard Harkness.
And any dad. Constantly interrupted by your kids. Have we covered Chrome, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not gonna go crazy. So I could move on. I also use Chrome as my replacement, so I was going to wait until you asked me and then I was gonna say I use Firefox, but you know.
I've never tried it.
You've never tried Firefox?
I can't remember. I might have tried it in the dark old days when I had a PC, but I don't think I've tried it on my. Yeah, that's why
so
I've never.
Bad.
That's why I've never tried it since. I can't be bothered to make the same mistake twice. So, tell us about. I don't use anything as a messages app replacement. So tell me about Viber. I've been hearing about that it's now come to the Mac platform as an app now, hasn't it? So what's that all about?
It's pretty much a voice and voice video and textual chat service. Mm-hmm. So it's the same as Skype basically.
But
it's so much better than iMessage. And Jordan and I tested it right after the podcast last week because I saw that it just came to the Mac and I thought, ooh, mm-hmm. this is shiny. And it's really, really nice. The interface is kind of, it's flat and boring actually. And I like it. I mean, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about it versus messages is it actually works.
That always helps, doesn't it?
Yes. And it has these really cool things. So, like when you send a message, it does one check mark for sent and then like another one for delivered or something like that. And it's got like really cool transitions. Everything is just really well built, even though it's not in beta. The video is in beta, but it feels like it might be in beta because it's like the first version on the Mac. It just came out. It looks really nice. I think they're doing well with it.
Cool. Does it sort of keep the chronology of your conversation correct, unlike iCloud seems to?
Yes, it does. It's really nice, too.
That would be a huge bonus, because it's confused the hell out of us guys quite a few times, hasn't it, trying to...
I remember the day my Mac marked everything as red, even though I never saw the messages, because they all just went into Notification Center, and I missed them. And then I looked on my phone and I was like, oh, I guess there's not a podcast today. And then I went off and did my things. And then Johnny's messaging me and he's like, Jacob, where are you? Jacob, hello. It's terrible. It's just the worst collaboration tool ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on that basis alone, if you and Jacob on it, I might give it a whirl and we can try it out. It might work better. I take it Viber is available on iOS as well, isn't it?
It is, and that app is even better. It's kind of funny. It's almost inconsistent in areas. I love it, but like one screen will be really nice. The other one will be kind of just boring old iOS, and then all of a sudden you'll get these really cool transitions from pictures and profile pages of people look really nice, and it's strange. It's like they worked on certain parts and left the other ones out, but they'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah. And at the moment, it's just obviously you've got to, other people have to be signed up to Viber for them to use it.
But it's free.
So, yeah. Well, it's like everything else, isn't it? It's just a question of are people going to be willing to try and will it get enough traction, I guess. It's doing this.
They'll get me.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing the same things as Skype, but you think it does it better than Skype?
I think so. Skype's a little bit bulky at times, and it's made by Microsoft.
Yeah, and never a good thing.
The voice quality on Viber, we were surprised that it actually wasn't that bad at all. It was almost exactly as, I mean, it says it's HD. It was almost as good as Skype, just a little bit less, maybe a little bit more compressed. But I think, for instance, we could probably use it for podcasting and it'd work well. I liked it. It sounded pretty good. Are you still there?
Okay. Yeah. Just and right. Okay. Cool. I might give that a try then. Oh God!
And you don't have an alternative for mail?
I've never got around to trying one. I've got to say, I tried experimenting on iOS with what was it called? Mailbox was it? And I couldn't be bothered.
First, it was like, well, I mean, I kind of had a fun time waiting for it, and then I eventually, after a week, I thought, oh, okay, this is just a waste of time, so I deleted it. But it wasn't really worth the wait anyway. It wasn't that good. And then Dropbox just bought it.
Yeah. So yeah, I could be bothered. But you use Sparrow.
I do. I've used Sparrow since the day it was released. I love Sparrow.
So what's cool about Sparrow then?
It's much more lightweight. It has, I mean, to me, it looks better and it thinks the way I do for email. And the thing that has kept me at the still using the app is the fact that the shortcut for archiving something is the delete button, and I can't assign it in mail. I have looked everywhere and I can't find it. And it's just, and you know, all of that combined, I just love Sparrow, even though it hasn't been updated in a long time.
Right. Right. So by that, do you mean if you sort of got a message highlighted and you just hit delete, that it automatically archives it?
Mm-hmm. Rather than deleting it and putting it in the trash, because it automatically empties your trash. That's what I don't like.
Right. That's good. I like that. That's good. That sounds good. And actually, I should have asked about Viber as well. Oh, you did say Viber was free, didn't you? Is Sparrow? $10. Oof, right.
That's not that bad, not for a good mail app.
I might keep my eye out and see if it's on sale at any point.
I haven't touched it since Google bought it.
That was Google bought it, over there.
Yeah, last year, I think in June, was it? I think it was in June, something like that.
When you say they haven't touched it, do you mean price wise or
just haven't modified anything?
So they haven't developed it.
No price changes. No. Updates. I think they had one bug fix, and then they said, I think it was the final one or something like that. And they may have updated the iPhone app a little bit, but I'm not sure. They released the iPhone app, and Google bought it. So,
is that paid as well?
The iPhone one,
I think. It's All right, it's not expensive for that one.
Yeah, but you know, on iOS, I feel like Mail is good, and you don't even need another one. But that's up.
Yeah. There. Is it easy enough, you know, so with Sparrow to set up and get all your iOS account and Google account and all the rest of it fed into there?
Yeah, it's just as easy as, actually, it's easier than with Mail.
Right.
It just doesn't look as complicated, even though, I mean, if something goes wrong, it'll have you put in the server, all the port numbers and stuff. But if it's fine, which I've never had one go wrong, even my custom domains, then it just goes through with one click, just username and password. It doesn't even display anything else, which is really nice.
Oh, yeah, cool. That's another one I might have to keep my eye out for then as well. Then, so the other category we've got is kind of reminders to do, isn't it? Now I'm using Clear for mine.
Why?
I like it. I really like it.
I don't you understand know why people would waste money on that little jet. Everybody has told me, and I thought Johnny said this too, that it's fun to mess around with, and then it just gets dull and you don't want to use it in your daily life.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? There's something about it that I like. I just like the simplicity, and this is ridiculous, I know, but I like the silly noises that it makes when you've when you've completed things. So it gives me a sense of satisfaction when I've worked my way through things. Because I'm terrible at getting through, and I always feel like I've got lists and lists and lists of things to do. So it's anything that gives me a little, you know, glimmer of hope.
That was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, I like that. I like all the color sort of schemes and things like that. And I don't need it to do much, the thing, you know, to be honest. I just need to be able to keep a list much in the same as you would, you know, make a list on a piece of paper. That kind of level of functionality is fine for me. I don't need anything more complex than that. And I think I got both of them when they were on sale, actually. So I didn't pay, I think I paid something like £2 UK for Clear for the Mac, and then something, you know, 70p or whatever it was for Clear on the iPhone. So it didn't cost me a lot at all. And I would have paid full price, to be fair. I like both of them. I think I use it more. I'd have to check. Oh, I won't be able to check, will I? Because it won't bloody tell you when you've got it installed, will it?
No, it will. You click the page and then it's in the little sidebar on the right.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's always annoyed me, that. Clear. So you click on it.
At least over here.
It's 30% off at the moment, folks, if you fancy it. It's $4.99 at the moment in the UK.
Perfect.
So there you go. So I like it. I'm happy with it. I don't tend to use reminders so much now, but yeah, this is the irritating thing is how reminders, I do use it simply for the fact that I do use Siri to remind me of things.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And I wish it would kind of integrate with that more. Even if it just had like a little, it'd be good if I had a little like just Siri reminders list, you know, could create that as a separate list for you or something. That'd be good. But I guess Apple wants to use that as a hook to keep you in their ecosystem. And you're using Cheddar, which has been on my Clear list to check out for a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah, honestly, it's still on my one of my sort of tech to do lists is check out Cheddar, and I still haven't done it. So because you were in such high praise of it, I remember a while ago, and so obviously you're still enjoying it if you're still using it.
I do. It's not a reminder, really. It's not a reminders app, but then again, the only thing I usually use reminders for is a task list. So I just open it up anyway. It's not, it's telling me to open it up, and then I do that. So for Cheddar, I just have my list of stories that I'm doing for the local paper, and I have them in the order that I need them to get done, so just prioritize. And then I have a second list called ideas for anything I think of, and I just throw it in there. And you can get more if you pay, which I think it's $2 or $3 a month, and I don't need more than two lists. So.
Well, looking at this, it's on the Mac App Store and it's currently free. Right. Well, I wasn't sure, but I thought I'd just say that just in case. And I can't. There's no mention about this having in-app purchases on the Mac side. Does it have in-app purchases on the Mac, or is it just iOS where it does that?
No, I don't think it does on iOS either, but it is...
Or is the paid version just direct from the developer?
Yeah, it's an account you have. You just sign into it because it actually started as a web app, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And the one thing about the Mac app is every time you open it, it reloads and every time you switch from one list to another, it reloads the whole thing as if it's either a web page or it just thinks it has to reload the whole thing rather than, you know, just pulling new entries or getting rid of the old ones, which is a little annoying. But
it says here, felt one guy's review this, bear in mind this was December, says felt monthly annual fee to create more than one list was underhanded.
No,
so is it just one list?
Nope, it's two. I have two.
Oh, and then it mentions in the text that it's called Cheddar Plus if you want to upgrade. Okay.
Yeah, the review says charging for more than two lists. Are you serious? But
yeah,
I'm sorry, but that's how you have to make money somehow. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
They just charge you $5 from the app and
from the outset. Exactly. I mean, that's how Clear has done it. So at least you've got the chance with Cheddar, I suppose, to try it out before you pay any more money towards it. It looks reasonably clean and neat. Is it free on the iPhone as well?
It is.
Very good. Very good. I think you know, we probably said before, if you're happy with what you've got, there's not an awful lot of point going messing about with other things, is there? It's just going to, you don't want a million to-do lists on different apps. But I suppose with Cheddar, you can have a play about with it without it costing you anything, unlike Clear. So I guess you probably win on that one. But you could always, I guess, see if you've got any friends who've got it and have a look at their version. That's maybe one way to do it. And instead of iCloud, we both unanimously have said Dropbox.
You know, I would rather use Dropbox than I mean, it's not like, oh well, I use iCloud for this and that. No. I don't use iCloud. I just use Dropbox.
I really don't have a system. I really probably should get a system. I've got some things in one, some things in the other, and then now and again I think, oh, I know, I'll back some things up to Dropbox just as a, I kind of use Dropbox as a bit of a safety net, I suppose, and put some key things in there that I don't want to risk iCloud losing. But then again,
I remember that one day he was very unhappy with his life.
Oh God, yeah.
I think it was 500 words or something.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's in Byword, and you know, I used to use it. I used to sync Byword with iCloud, and I never had a problem. But now, since he said that, I was like, well, I think I'll just switch just in case.
Because
I write thousands of words, and if it crashes all of a sudden or something, I really don't want to lose it.
I heeded his message, but I've never got around to you to changing it yet. It'll happen when I'm least expecting it, unfortunately. So, yeah. So that kind of covers it, doesn't it, Jacob? We've gone through the main ones. There's always lots of other things you could do to replace.
Actually, you skipped one.
Did I?
Fantastical.
Oh, yeah.
I have it on my list, but technically I don't use it on the Mac, so I'm not going to talk about it. But you can.
Yeah, I use it on the Mac. I do like it. I mean, to the point where the calendar app just doesn't get used at all. And the only gripe I've got with it is it unless I'm doing something wrong, it sits in your taskbar, and it, oh God, I've just, no, I haven't. I thought I just killed it and gone away. It doesn't kind of expand to your full screen. So it just kind of pulls down from the taskbar and appears as like a drop down thing. So from that point of view, unless I'm doing something wrong with it, I haven't worked out what it is. I don't like that so much because it means you're kind of looking at it at a not dissimilar size to what it would be on your iPhone. or your iPad, rather than getting the, you know, like a nice full screen version. But there you go. But it is
utility.
Yeah, it works. And you've got a nice feature of which is in the bottom left hand corner, which is a little anchor symbol. And if you click on that, it keeps it locked open for you, so you can be looking at other windows and other apps at the same time without losing that. So that can be quite handy when you're trying to coordinate things and reply to emails and whatnot. So yeah, but I use it on iOS all the time. Just because everyone, it is easy. Yeah, it is easy. Looks nicer, and I like the what do they call it? The natural text doodah.
Oh, the main function of it that you just say, I'm doing this on this day here on this calendar at this time. You
just
or you just use dictation, which I do all the time.
Yeah, and it just whacks it into the field. It's very good how it does that, and it's very quick at doing it as well. I really, really like that aspect of it. So, yeah, that's why I use Fantastic Allen, and it sounds like similar reasons for yourself as well.
I just don't use the Mac app. Isn't it $20 or something? It felt too expensive for me to buy it.
And was it?
I think so. Let's see. And I use the calendar right now, and I don't mind it at all on the Mac. I mean,
yeah.
On iOS, it just seems old and ugly and blue. Yeah, it's $20 for Fantastic Al.
Yeah, it's quite expensive. I think I might have caught that one on a sale one day or something. Because I think I always wanted it, but I wasn't prepared to pay full price for it. So, and as I say, with it not going to sort of full screen mode, it is a bit disappointing that way. Yeah, I don't know why they've gone for that. I don't know why they don't give people the option to.
Terrible. I must agree with you. It just doesn't. It's limited. It's like this. It's so boring in this small window. If it was like they had their own user interface like Calendar, then I would probably buy it for $20. But
yeah,
it just doesn't seem worth it. Not for a tiny menu bar app.
Yeah, I'm just having a look through the preferences as well, and I can't see a thing there to allow me to make it like a full screen mode or anything like that. It's just menu bar based. I don't understand why they would do that. But there you go.
It's quick access, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Is that's nice and quick, and you can get to it straight away rather than having to go into, launch a whole app and obliterate your window. So from that side of it, it's quite nice. But it would be nice to have the option to go full screen or something, or at least bigger window anyway. Right. Is there any other ones that you would like to discuss, Jacob, or is that are we covered it there?
Alternatives to the Mac App Store, that would be fun. No, I think we've got it. I use VLC instead of QuickTime. I mean, it's wonderful. It plays every format you can imagine.
Yeah, I've got VLC installed as well because we got some obscure file format given to us by some relatives in India that I could not figure out how to get to work, and that was the only bit of software that would play it.
What was it, Ogg Vorbis or something?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it was something weird like that. I was just like, when the guy sent me the attachment, I was like, what is that? it was what his camcorder recorded in by default as well. I was like, what?
Oh, that's really weird.
It's really odd. But there you go. There you go. So, yeah, if you're having trouble opening any kind of video files, then it is a good app. VLC is a good app for that. And I think that's in the Mac App Store for free, isn't it? So,
it's not in the Mac App Store.
Is it not? No. All right. I thought it was.
MPlayer X is another one, and it is available in the Mac App Store. But even though everyone says they love it, I like VLC. Seems much more lightweight, and it just does its job well. It can play FLAC. I mean, it plays everything you can imagine. So
yeah. Do you use anything to replace iPhoto?
No. Well, Bridge, Adobe Bridge, but that's only because I use Photoshop and it's easier to open files directly into it.
Mm. Yeah, I just use iPhoto, and I've got Aperture as well, just in case I fancy doing anything a bit more advanced.
iPhoto's a bit heavy sometimes.
It is. It is.
It is a lot.
It is slow. It really needs to be improved. Definitely needs a bit. But I mean, that whole suite needs to be brought up to speed, doesn't it? So
I just thought of something. I use Simple Note for notes.
Yes, you do, don't you?
It's much, much better. I hate notes. it's never works for me very well. It's really slow at syncing.
Mm.
iCloud again. And I just don't like the way it's organized, especially on iOS. And since I have it on Mac and iOS, the synchronization and stuff, I'd rather just Simple Notes always worked well. It's really clean, not this funky torn paper look that I don't need.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we're not probably far away from seeing a new iOS and a new version of OS X. So I thought today was probably a timely point to look at alternatives, especially if you're getting frustrated and don't want to wait.
Fix this.
Well, we could tell Apple they need to fix things till the cows come home, and they ain't going to listen, are they? That's not their style.
They do. Sometimes.
I think they listen to people whose voice that they value. You know.
Yeah.
Some of the pundits and things like that. So yeah, selected people. But if you or I complain about it, I don't think they're too bothered. That's the impression that I get anyway. You know, because I think people have complained for years, haven't they, about sort of cloud services from Apple and stuff, and they still haven't got that sorted.
It's a mess.
And yeah,
iCloud is probably very good either.
And iCloud's still not there, and Ping was a disaster. That was sort of kind of cloud.
Ping was a waste of time.
Cloud. You could almost see Steve Jobs couldn't be arsed with it on stage, couldn't you? I felt. Yes. It was just kind of a yes kind of
so
thing.
We got this thing.
Well, this thing, yeah. And we think it's really cool. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, can we move on now?
Yeah. You could really tell when Steve's heart was in something and when he was just like going through the motions, I think. But yeah, so I mean that was another sort of cloud thing. And what's it called? iTunes Match, that sometimes screws up on a regular basis. And when they launched it, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
I lost all of my music for a long, long time.
Oh, I didn't lose my music. I just never turned it on.
Well, I turned it on, Joseph, and on my iPhone, I just, every single album that I had, if I opened it up, just had sort of a blank list of song names. There was nothing written, and then just 000 next to the time for every track.
Oh, yay.
And I was like, what have you done? It was a disaster. It worked okay on the Mac side of it, but on the iOS side, it was totally messed up. So, yeah. And I really dislike how you can't quickly flip between... sorry, this is iOS, but it is a bugbear of mine. You've got two choices if you've got iCloud. You can either see everything that's in iCloud on your iPhone, or there's a setting to only see songs on your iPhone. And if you flip backwards and forwards between those two things, boy, is it slow. Boy, is it slow, to the point that you don't want to do it, unless you've got a really small library. But I've got, I don't know, it's about 12,000 songs or so now. Yeah. So, and
1,500, and it's 20 gigabytes because everything's really high quality.
Yeah, I never got around to doing that. We see, that was one of the reasons I used iCloud, Joseph, because I had a lot of stuff that was ripped in 128. And when they said, you know, put your stuff on iCloud and we'll automatically upgrade it to 256, I was like, that would save me so much work. So I was very... Yes, I am calling you Joseph.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I was like, I wonder how long is this going to take him to reel? And on that note, anyway.
What happened there? There you go. I think Johnny needs to make a little joke about that in the show notes, doesn't he?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Featuring, you know, Jacob, Joseph, and Richard. Sorry. Major sorry. So what was I going to say? Yeah, so that was just a massive, massive headache. And now I'd like to be able to toggle between the two, because when you're out and about and you don't want to use iCloud, you just want to listen to what's on your phone. That would be really handy to be able to do that, but it's just not viable for me. And anyway, I'm on Spotify now, so that's kind of killed iCloud for me anyway.
Oh, there's a whole discussion.
Yeah, I use that for everything, so... Right, well, I think that
that's it.
That'll do us for a show there.
Where can we find you?
Yeah, the best place to get me is occasionally venturing onto Twitter at Rich Harkness, and I've also got my blog, which I keep meaning to write on more, which is areyougettingit.co.uk.
All right, cool. I'm at Penderworth on Twitter, and you can find my writings at thepapermail.com. And we are, I think, what is it? At
BTTM podcast.
Okay, yes.
On Twitter.
This is why I don't do these things.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
That was Back to the Mac from the Q Broadcasting Network. You can follow us on Twitter at BTTM podcast or at Q Broadcasting, or find us on the internet at q.am. That's QUE.AM. Intro and outro music is used with the kind permission of Tariq Greenfield, composer and producer. Find him on the internet, www.tdmss.com. Thanks for listening.
Apple Macintosh.